Now,
this is part two of our interview with Mary. I'm Britta, and we are continuing our interview.
One thing that has changed so greatly is the river. Now, back in the 1800s, there was a big iron processing place right out on the river. There were, gas. There was a gas where somehow they, I got a picture of that too. I want to say made the gas, but you don't make gas. But it had something to do with furnishing gas to people. And I mean, all along the river, where those apartments are up on the riverbank at the end, well, Front Street, they weren't there. In fact, there were some beautiful houses there. And then there were some old warehouses there. There was actually another street toward the river. And people lived down there. Yeah. But that's all changed. When the railroad came in, then they dynamited the big cliff, you know. If you're on the railroad track and you look up that big cliff there. And then they put the bridge in to get there. But now that's closed. I don't think they're going to open that. Because you can go around. And they've got a nice park down there now, and you can launch your boats down there. But that was a very busy place, going way back to when the proprietors settled this Hudson. No. And because Clawbrick, see, was the main settlement. They only used what's now Hudson to bring their goods in and ship them. It was a dirt road that came in from Clawbrick. And then gradually, I've been researching the schools. Oh, I can't believe how many schools were in Hudson. Not within modern times. I'm going way back to the early 1800s. There were schools here. And people would have schools in their homes, private schools. But Hudson was, they were very much for education here. And I don't think a lot of people know that. No. And
this is something that I'm very interested in. You told me about your upbringing on a farm and how busy you were and how involved you as children were, just keeping it going, and your parents relied on you also as farmhands. How did that transition happen? You were lucky that you went to high school, and then eventually you became a teacher.
Right.
Can you tell me how that happened?
Well, we all had to help on the farm, but it wasn't like years and years ago when you turned 16, the boys would quit and work on the farm. No, I know Frank, my parents wanted to send him to Cornell. He said, no way. He had enough of farming. So he joined the Navy and has been very successful, very. But he's out in California, yeah. But no. And then my father kept the farm going with hired help. And even though I was in college, my brother, younger brother, was still home. And then I would be home for the summer. That was the time when across the river, all of the summer resorts where people would come up from the city, you know, big boarding houses, and they'd stay 2 weeks a month. And all the girls on this side of the river would get jobs over there, either in a kitchen or maids, you know. Not me. I wanted to go so bad over there, but I couldn't go. No. But a lot of my friends did. Yeah. And,
Did you
but,
have any dreams about, growing up, what you wanted to be as a girl?
not really. Well, I had kind of planned to be a nurse. My sister is a nurse. But I wasn't old enough when I graduated. I was only 16. And you had to be 17 to get into training. So I was going to go back and take a PG course at school and take more science, you know. And then the following year, I would be old enough to go into training. But we didn't have any guidance counselors then like they do today. Gosh, I don't know how kids ever make up their mind today. They've got so much to choose from. But we each had, all the seniors had to go down and talk with the principal. And I loved home ec. I loved home ec. And our home ec teacher. And Mr. Mortensen was the principal. And he said, "Mary, have you ever thought about being a home ec teacher?" I said, "No, not really." He said, "You like home ec. You're very good in home ec." He said, "Why don't you go home and talk it over with your parents and see if you can go up." Plattsburgh was the place where you studied for home ec teachers then. So I did, and they said yes, and now I went off to Plattsburgh and I became a home ec teacher. I taught it 2 years. I loved it. And then I moved to New Jersey and I couldn't get a home ec job. But one school needed a fourth grade teacher, so I needed a job. So I took it. And then I went to Rutgers and Glassboro State Teachers College, got certified for elementary. And I've been fourth grade ever since. Yeah. But no, things weren't so complicated then. And I don't think if I thought about it 6 months, I could have ever come up with a job that I loved as much as teaching. You know? And that was a stroke of luck. It really was. But in those days, girls either got married right out of school. I had a lot of friends that did that. Or they became a teacher or a secretary. And that was it. That's now look what they've got to choose from. My God, they're mar I used to ask my little fourth grade girls, what they'd like to be. Oh, they'd like to be a marine biologist. All these things I would never have heard of at that age. No. But see, I started at a one-room schoolhouse. Maybe there were three or four in my class that did, but they at least they were 5 years old in first grade. I was four because the teacher boarded with us. And I guess I was pretty bad. And Mr. Shealy said, "Well, Miss Barbara, don't worry about it. I'll take her on to school with me." And that's how I got to first grade at four, which was a terrible mistake. Then the next year we centralized with Germantown because we lived probably about 5, 6 miles from the school. And I mean, our little school was beautiful. It was first through eighth grade, no? But I went along into Germantown, got put in second grade. But I don't remember things, from school like the other my friends all do. But I just was too young. I wasn't ready. And that's where I don't believe in having, even no matter how smart you are, skipping classes. You know how they'll do? My granddaughter had a chance. They wanted to do that to her down in Rhinebeck. And I explained to my daughter, that I didn't think it was good for her. And so that was that. She didn't know.
In what ways did it affect you that you were so young in first grade?
I was young. I never had a lot of confidence. I can still remember getting up to when we'd be out in gym class, and that followed me all the way through. When it would be my turn to at bat, you know, to hit the ball, and I think, oh, am I going to do it? You know, didn't think I could do it, you know. And even when I got close to the first day of school, maybe all beginning teachers feel this way, but I stood up there. I taught home ec, so I had, I think, the sophomore class as a homeroom, you know. You checked them in the morning and all. And I stood there, and the kids came in. I thought, oh, Mary, what in the world are you doing here? But I loved it. I loved it. No? And I love fourth grade. No? But
What is it about that age that you love so much?
I don't know. They just... Oh. Number one, they like you and they listen to you. They haven't really reached that fresh stage yet, like older kids. It's coming down, though. Gosh, it used to be high school. They were that way. Now high school's all right. It's moved on down to sixth grade, where you get that wrong behavior. Yeah. And Lord knows what it is now. I know I retired. My father lived with me. And he got to the point where I didn't trust him to be home alone. He was 102, I think. They live a long time at my house. But anyway, that fall, I went back and substituted every now and then. And he kept putting me in the high school, the principal, and I can't do this. I'll be in trouble, because you're sitting in your room, and the kids are passing class, you know, walking in the hall, and the language is unbelievable. Man, I never would have put up with that when I was teaching full time. I would have been in trouble too, but no. I don't know where we went wrong. But boy, boy. And yet, the beauty of staying in this area, like my sister goes to Florida in the winter, you know, and then they come up and they go to Cape Cod for the summer. And a lot of my friends have moved down to the Carolinas and all. But I enjoy here, beside keeping a place for anyone in the family that wants to come home in the summer, you know, for a visit. But I like to see the kids and what they've become as they've grown up. That's a joy to me. It really is. No? And Lord, I've got them. They're policemen. In fact, the police chief, Eddie Moore, here in Hudson now. Well, I didn't teach him. He was in my daughter's class. But I knew him. Police chief, yep. But, oh, Lord, they're all over. They're in the troopers. They're policemen. They're in the sheriff's department. I worry about them all now. Mm.
Why do you say that, Mary?
I don't know. Look what's happening to our policemen. They're getting shot sitting in the cars. And thank God it hasn't happened around here, but I don't know. I had one student. He spent a lot of time at my house. He was a prison guard, I think, at Green Haven. And he was hurt. The prisoners beat him up once, which surprises me, because Rocco was very strong, and enough so that he retired on disability. He was, and that was in the big, you know, a prison. But I worry about him, because now drugs are a big part of it. I don't think sometimes they realize what they're doing, really. So,
Is that something that you also encounter here in your community, that there are drug-related problems?
I don't know. People don't talk much about it, but I know the policemen, they're all well respected around here. Now here, right in Hudson, I'm not sure. I don't know. But the rest of the county and out in the country and all, they're very, very well respected. Yeah. No.
And you have a feeling they keep the situation under control. It helps that they are so present and well respected.
Yes. Yeah. And but there's a lot of drugs in Hudson. I really don't know. They've gotten so now, I don't know how you stop them. No. And then I think about when these kids that are doing the drugs now, some of them, it doesn't seem to affect. They go on, they become doctors and lawyers and nurses. You wouldn't think they could. But here, you know, I don't know. But I, to change the subject kind of, I can vaguely remember, has anyone talked about when Columbia Street was a red light district with the houses of prostitution?
I've heard about it, but I know very little about it, so I'd love to hear about that.
Well, I was in high school. It was in the early 50s when the state troopers had a raid, and they actually locked the policemen up, the Hudson policemen, because a lot of them were in on it, you know? And so the girls always got warned any time that they wanted to have a raid. So, but that night pretty much ended it. They pretty much ended it. But all of Lower Warren Street, and those houses are all gone now. They've knocked them down with urban renewal when that came in. And that Habitat is building new houses all down in there. Yeah. No, that urban renewal, that changed Hudson a lot. They knocked a lot of beautiful old buildings down.
When did that start?
Well, I wasn't around here, so I was gone. I graduated in 53, and basically, I didn't live here till 1973. So I was gone basically 20 years. And it was in that period of time, in the 60s, I think, or late 50s, because I started teaching in 57. Yeah.
What happened during that time?
Oh, like on where Front Street is, along the river, that all got knocked down and changed. And none of those apartments were there. There was no such thing as low-income housing anyway. I'm not sure that we have it yet today. The rent seems pretty high to me when I hear what people pay. But no, Hudson could be a nice little city. I just wish they would get a grocery store in the city. They had a Grand Union for years over on Union Street. It's where the mental health group has that building now. And I don't know, they certainly did enough business there. And at the same time, there was another one privately owned down, well, below where this building is. Below Third, I think it was. Yeah. You wouldn't want to probably maybe do a whole week shopping, but if you needed bread or milk, you didn't have to go all the way out. to the.
Why do you think that a grocery store, something as simple as that everyone needs, had a chance?
I don't know why they don't. Every so often it comes up, and I mean, just, and there's so many people without a car in Hudson that if they could walk to something. I mean, I see cabs bringing people out to the ShopRite and Price Shopper. And no. But it was way down if that. Oh gosh, in fact, I don't think there's anything in that building right now. I can't think of the name. His wife taught in Germantown. But it was a very nice store. I think his father had it, and then the son took over. Yeah.
And then it closed
And then eventually it closed, yeah.
because the rent got too high, or
No, they owned
not
that
enough
build.
business.
They owned that building. No.
That's interesting that you would think everyone would be happy to have that store, and
I know it.
people didn't.
And yet they, I guess when a big store comes in, they do a study beforehand to see if it's feasible to build there, and I don't know. It seems I've got nothing against the dollar store, but oh my God, we got enough of them around. And they're good too. They serve a purpose. You know, you want to get wrapping paper or, you know, ribbon or something like that. You just run there. No. I don't know.
If you had the free rein of changing whatever you could in Hudson, what would it be?
Oh, I put a grocery store here. That would be one thing, a grocery store. See, nowadays, parking is a problem. You know, the city has that parking lot over on Union. And then there's one in back on Columbia Street, I think it is. And then you walk through little walkways. I don't know. They've got plenty of restaurants and they seem to do business. Even though they're very expensive, no, and it's a nice selection. That's good, you know. Even way up street, there's a Japanese, is it? I know it begins with a W. It's up almost out up Warren Street, almost out of town. Yeah. But I don't know. They seem to use all the old schools for something. The county owns at 401 State Street. That was a school. The county has that all. Then my office for history is a couple blocks up at 610 State Street. And that was a school that was built in, oh Lord, 1886 or something like that. And the only school that's empty is St. Mary's. They use that for different church things, you know, and yeah.
You said earlier that education was really important in Hudson and there were many schools, and you can tell me a number of these buildings. I know that education is something that is somewhat controversial in town, and the high school has relatively low graduation rates. How do you explain that whole development that it took over the decades?
You know, I think the parents have a lot to do with it. If education isn't important to the parents, it's not going to be important to the kids. And when I look and see the what you're talking about, the rates of graduation compared to how many kids started that class, you know, And I mean, nowadays you can't even get in the service without a high school diploma in the Army or Navy, or I guess you can have a GED. But, and gosh, with all the modern, the weapons and the equipment, you can't be a dummy. You got to know. And it's just like, I had a couple in the office Monday. They were from Virginia. And the wife was looking up her family history. And the husband was helping her. And he's a math professor at George Mason University down in Virginia. And so I got him talking about, kids, freshmen coming into school. They have a big remedial math class they have to offer because the kids coming in don't know it. No? And I'm afraid with the computers and with everything, it's not going to get any better. I don't know. Maybe it will, but I don't know. But I know education had to be important because why would they have all those schools? And it wasn't that it was the city. Churches built them and supported them. Oh, there was one, the fishermen. What was it? The fishermen, they had to pay a tax on so much fish, and that supported another school. So, I don't know.
As an educator, how do you think this could be addressed today?
If you have to get the parents. Now, I know people that live in Providence Hall. That's supposed to be for people on low income. Okay? And across that there, that's one big building. And then the apartments are in there. Across Lawrence, no, what is that? Columbia Street. Across the street, oh, that's not part of Providence Hall, I don't think. Maybe it is. But they're, again, low income. I've been up there late at night. In fact, I have a cousin that lives in there, and she's been sick quite a bit. And if I'm up there staying with her or taking care of her, real late at night, these little tots, they're running out in the streets. Now, where are their parents? And they're little kids, like 3 years old. They should be in bed, to say nothing of the older kids. And that's where it's got to start. I don't know. But there's not a lot of work around here, I'll grant you that. But oh, I hate to see young men and women too, I guess, but men especially, because most of the women have children. But these young men sitting on the stairs going into their building all day when they ought to be working. But they won't work on a farm, not when they can get welfare. Every year, I live right across from a big fruit farm, Bartolotta's Fruit Farm, Kleinkell Fruit. In fact, they're on across the road, this side, and up and back of me. Yeah. Every year, they put an ad in the paper for help to either trim trees or especially to pick apples. They're big on apples. Not one person answers their ad. And they're not the only farm. All the farmers do that. So they rely on Jamaicans. They're fantastic. No. The camp is on this side of me. And There's only 8 or 9 of them up now. When they start picking peaches, then the rest of them will be up, and oh, it'll be another 20 or 30. Now, just think if our own people would do that job, those jobs, how many people would have work? And they're paid well, because the government, that's a the government's in on that and regulates the pay. Yeah. No, one of them, I think it's about 10 years, he's been helping me at night and on the weekend, you know, with my rock garden. I got this huge, big rock garden, and I didn't think about when I got older and a bad back and Dexter. In fact, he's so good that if I go out to the Cape to my sister's for a few days, then I have him stay in my house and see to Helen, my 103-year-old lady. Yeah. No. You can't ask for nicer people than they are. And they're all family men. They don't mess around with the women here in Hudson or the girls. In fact, I let them take my car. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't even be saying it. And on Thursday nights, they go. Three of them go. One's got a driver's license. And that's when they send their money back home and they do their grocery shopping. The farm provides a bus on Friday nights, but they may not get home till 10 or 11 o'clock at night because anybody that's on the bus, they go to whatever store anybody wants to go to. So, no, they like to go by themselves, get their work done. They're home. They're only gone at the most 2 hours. Yeah. I'm lucky to have them.
That's a whole group of people you,
Jamaicans,
yes,
yeah.
and you became friends and
Oh yeah, oh yes. In fact, some of them have their mail come to my house because they think the Bartolottas are making fun of their mail or you know whatever, so they have it come to my house. No.
Sounds like there's a good relationship then between people who come here on a temporary basis to help out with.
Oh yes. I don't think they're really supposed to work extra. But I've gotten a number of jobs for them. Listen, if they're willing to work, let them make the money. We can't get people to do it. No. No. No.
When you look back on all these years that you've spent here and you've seen these tremendous changes from when you were a little girl
Yeah.
growing up and coming here on Fridays and then on Thursdays and really spending the largest part of your life here, how do you see all these changes? There have been, we often think only of, the more recent changes in Hudson, but there's been, I mean, throughout your life, there has been so much that has
Oh
happened.
yes, it's changed a number of times. Yeah. And I think when the antique dealers, I know you'll hear about them, they really were the ones. Now let's see, I moved back here in 73. Probably in the late 70s and 80s, then the antique dealers discovered Hudson. And they came up and, you know, they would buy a building for not much. The pity of it is now, if they want to sell it, oh my God, they raise the price so much more than what they paid for it, and most people can't buy it. But they've fixed up the front and the side. Now, if you go down the alley, you'll see nothing got fixed up on the back side of buildings. I like the alleys, Yeah. But there's been a lot of changes. But probably every place. If I went back, I lived a couple years in Colorado. And I bet that's built up where I lived in Arvada. I bet that's built up all the way to Boulder. Yeah. And I lived in New Jersey 4 years. And I wouldn't know. I bet my house down there. You know, the trees have all grown and no. See, Jersey, South Jersey is noted for vegetables, especially tomatoes. And the development, it was all brand new. And they had raised tomatoes there, acres and acres and acres of tomatoes. And it's such a shame to take that beautiful, flat, sandy farmland for houses. Oh, no. Because once you build houses and blacktop, you can't get it back to farms. No.
Do you think the farmland here is mainly still intact? That people are still using the farmland the way they used to?
Some are, but now where I grew up, see, our farm has been sold. Well, my brother got a lot of it, and I actually was the one that sold it because I couldn't afford to pay the taxes and everything. So, but the man, he hasn't ruined the land. He raises grapes. He makes wine. They have a good time. He's an architect in the city, but they're up here every minute they can. Now, across from me, that was another big farm. And Mandy died, Mr. Fuchs died, and left the wife. Well, she had all girls because their oldest son also died, both of them with cancer. And Jane has sold off parts of it for housing. Yeah. And that's what's good about that. I don't know if you've heard of it. I can't think of the name. They will actually buy somebody's large acreage for good money. And they don't do anything with it. It can't be sold for housing. Nothing to bother the view. There's a big farm going as you start across the Rip and Winkle Bridge. Brown's Cherry Farm it was. And he died. But a year or so before he died, he sold it. Oh, Lord. Somebody can give you the name of that organization. And they sold it. Now, I believe they can give some to their children, but it can never be used for anything but farming. Yeah. And they've bought a lot of land around Columbia and Dutchess County that I know of, and probably other counties too. So thank God they're saving it that way. Yeah.
Sounds like you care about preservation of the land.
Oh, yes. No, in Livingston, we had an old barn that I was historian in Livingston for quite a while. I was still teaching then too, and till I took the county job. But the town had bought the house next door to put an addition on the town hall, and the house was wrecked anyway. But there was a beautiful old barn on the back of that piece of land. And I spearheaded a drive to raise money and turn that into our, we call it the History Barn. It's like a museum. I don't know where to go with any more stuff. Two stories, yeah. And a young man over there worked with me, and he learned, you know, all about the history and everything. And so when I left and came to the county, he took over there, yeah. And he's done a wonderful job. No?
You know a lot about the history of this area here, Mary.
But I had to learn it when I came back. I can't, let's see, 76, the bicentennial of the country. I guess I started learning it then. Because this wonderful man, Walt Miller in Germantown, he was county historian and Germantown historian. But I'd have him come and spend a couple days with my class. And we just did history all day and get the school bus and we'd ride around the district wherever the kids came from, you know.
With your fourth graders.
Pardon?
With your fourth
graders. Yeah. And I'd bring them up to the county court. Well, it was in the courthouse then, the county clerk's office where the deeds and all of that are kept. And I showed them how to, they can go back and look up their property where they live, you know. Then I do the bit with the camera and say, take pictures the way it is now. Oh.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I wanted them to take pictures and save the pictures, put them in a little notebook or album. And then, I mean, you wouldn't know until years from now if they go back and look, and it's all going to be different. It'll be different. No? My sister was here for a week with me because she had to, they live in Florida in the winter, but she had to go to Montana to a granddaughter's wedding, graduation. And Danny had to go to Virginia to his granddaughter's graduation. So when Marcia finished out in Montana, then she came to my house rather than go to Florida and turn around and fly to the Cape. So, and I took her on some roads that when we were kids, there were like three houses on them, these roads. And now they're all built up. All built up. I had to find a house to give a man something. God. And nobody puts names on their mailboxes. That's a big change. Everybody used to have names on the mailbox so you know where they lived. And this was the man that bought down in Livingston on Route 9. There was the Blue Stores Hotel. It burned. If you drive down Route 9, you'll see the remains of it. But anyway, the guy that was running it burned it. He was a fourth grader of mine too. But anyway, a man has bought that now and he's going to rebuild something there. It's a perfect site. And so I copied a lot of information for him. And he told me the road he lived on. I said, oh, I know that road. It was right not far from where I grew up. Oh, my God. I got on that road. And I bet all told there's between 15 and 20 houses on that road. And there used to be one. One, not counting ones on the two ends. Yeah. And some of them are way back in. Oh, they want to, these people from the city come and they want to live way back in. Not me. Mm-mm. No.
How do you feel about all these new developments and currents coming in with people moving up? New York isn't far away. How In what ways does it affect here, the life here in Hudson and surroundings?
Hudson, it's brought money to Hudson that they didn't have for quite a while. Now, the small towns, it seems sometimes they don't like the way things have been done. Sometimes in small towns, people don't want to change. And sometimes change is good, you know? And I mean, they'll move up here because they like the peace and the quiet, and then some of them, not all of them, if they had their way, they would have it noisy and bands and everything. What they're leaving in the city, you know? Oh, that doesn't bother me. No. But I don't like outsiders that come in and tell you what to do. Like that one man, there was one man, he moved to Hudson just to fight that cement plant. And when the state, you know, turned it down, said it couldn't be, he moved on. He's independently wealthy. He doesn't have to work. And then, boom, go on. Make trouble someplace else. Oh, Lord. But no, it's changed. It's nice to come to Hudson and see on a weekend. It's busy, you know? Yeah. And yet you've got everything. You've got garages to get your car fixed there at the head of, well, where Worth Avenue comes in, and you can make a right and go up to the hospital, or left and come down Warren. I think that's always been some kind of garage there. No. Except the grocery store. I don't know what happened. We were going to get the Clover Market. They were supposed to come in. And then that all fell through. I don't know what happened. No.
Mary, I just want to keep an eye on the time.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to add to the audio?
No, I think I've talked enough. It's gonna storm. Yeah.
Can I ask you one more question? Just because you have this extensive knowledge of the area, I noticed these beautiful little whales on the street signs.
Oh, whaling.
Where does the whaling come in here?
Well, whaling is what started. The proprietors, they're called. They came from, they were looking, people from Nantucket, Rhode Island, probably Martha's Vineyard, I don't know, but out around Cape Cod there, they were getting in trouble with the English for their whaling ships. So two or three of the top guys out there did a trip looking for a place in this area to bring their whaling business. And they hit the Hudson River. Well, first they saw Newburgh and Poughkeepsie, and they kept going, and they felt this would be a good place, Hudson, what's now Hudson. And they bought all the land that now makes up Hudson. And then the rest of them came. I don't know if I know how many came. Some of them took their houses apart and brought them and set them up here. And others just built from scratch. And that's where the whale comes from, the whaling. Yeah. And they had a, there's an alley called Rope Alley. Let's see, it crosses, it comes up to six because it's right in back of my building. That's Rope Alley and keeps going. That started down at the river, and it made the great big cable for the sailing ships. And then they'd stretch it out all the way up. Yeah. They made candles down by the river. No. No.
And which part of the whaling industry was placed here?
I think, now there's some good books on that, but I think they cut the whales up out at sea because they didn't come home until they had a boat full. And I've seen a whaling ship out in Rhode Island. Oh, I took my class out there one Saturday. And they cooked it down, you know, and all, you know, gutted it and all of that. Because there's the section of in the head, and there wasn't much of it. And that was so expensive. They got so much money for that little... See, I'd forgotten this. They used it for perfume, in perfume. Yeah. But, no, and they made boats here. They made whaling boats. And they shipped out from here. And then they came back. They made candles. No. But I think oil, wait a minute, whaling, for lighting, for the lights, that's what they use the oil for. And then when electricity came in, then that knocked that out too. Yeah. See, you get one good thing is invented and it knocks something else out. I guess it's always been that way. No. I should have studied up more on the whaling. Oh, you'll get somebody that can tell you all about that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mary.
Oh, thank you. I think this is a good project. Yeah.